You're listening to The Public Eye right here on 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us. You know, history, I've said it a million times over the years, and I know some people are saying, yeah, we know, Al, we know you love history. Well, I do. I really do. And I think American history in particular, it gives us a window of our past and even some semblance of what may happen in the future. And unfortunately, history is not for everybody. But I think knowing where we came from, you know, the people that came before us, how we get started as a nation, the various challenges that we faced in this country, all of that mixed together really helps, especially if you've been, you know, as an American, you really care about where you came from and who the people were that made all of this possible. Well, one of the people that made this possible was one of the best historians, if not the finest historian in this country, David McCullough. David McCullough passed away in 2022. He was a Pulitzer Prize winning author. So many of his books were monumental. And I say groundbreaking not because the topics themselves, but because he shed light on something that most people did not know. Well, now a new book, History Matters, by David McCullough is out. And joining me this week is Dory McCullough Lawson, David McCullough's daughter. And for the next half hour, Dory and I will be talking about the work that her father was involved in. Much of what's in this book, by the way, is stuff that was never published before. So I think that also was very unique. But for the next half hour, I'll be talking with Dory McCullough Lawson about her dad and about history. Dory, nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here, Al. Thank you.
You know, you would know this better than I, and please don't feel afraid to just say, hey, Al, well, you know, part of what you said was true. I truly believe that history is important for everybody, if nothing else, than to give us a sense of the fact that what we're going through today is not unique. I mean, the subject matter may be, the people, the names, the faces may be, but issues, challenges, we're part of this country's heritage since the very beginning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And my father loved a quote from Harry Truman, which said that the only new thing in the world is the history you don't know. And he lived by that quote and thought that we learned so much from what the country's been through before, and we've been through very hard times before, and we can do it again.
What was it that, because I know that David did not start out, I mean, he didn't major in history in college. It wasn't necessarily, the thing that he thought about as a young boy, saying, I'm going to be a historian, I'm going to be a best-selling historian, and I'm going to put it out there, and hopefully people will read it. Did this love of history develop over time?
It did. No, he started out as an English major at Yale. And at one point, he thought he wanted to be a painter. He loved painting. He studied painting at Yale. And when he graduated from college, he went to work in New York, and he worked at Sports Illustrated. He then worked for the United States Information Agency during the Kennedy administration, and he wanted to be a writer. And while he was in Washington working, he and my mother went up to the Library of Congress, and they saw a display of photographs, and the photographs were absolutely incredible of what happened in the aftermath of the Johnstown flood. And he wondered, you know, what are these pictures? And so he looked for a book to read about it, and he read the book, and it was not so terrific. And he looked for another book, and it still didn't give him what he wanted. And he decided that he would try to write the book that he wanted to read about the Johnstown flood. And that one subject led him to become a historian.
And as I said at the outset, one of the finest historians this country has ever known. And the other thing, Dory, and you would you'd understand this better than anybody, is the fact that, you know, David brought to his work, it wasn't just facts. I never felt like, oh boy, this is going to be like a history textbook. It never was. He made it so personal. When I say personal, I'm talking about bringing to life the individuals, the people that he wrote about, the period of time, so that without even having any visuals, you could create within your mind, or you could easily formulate a picture of what was going on, who these individuals were, what they were involved in, what this country looked like 150 years ago. That was an innate talent, was it not?
Well, it was something he developed and he worked very hard on. He wrote in the tradition of narrative history, which is where you are with the characters in history. It's not sort of history from on high, as he called it, which would be where you're analyzing things, knowing how they turned out. He wanted to know what happened, when it happened, and what was it like for the people who were living at that time, the people who didn't know how it was going to come out. And I remember as a kid, he was already a writer when I, you know, could read and was in high school and things, and he'd written lots of books, and I'd always heard, you know, oh, he's a terrific writer. And I was terrified to read his books because I thought, oh God, they're going to be like history books that are boring. And finally, when I read one, I couldn't believe it because it read like a novel. And I was so relieved. Wait a minute, I love these books.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the feeling that he hoped that the reader would have. And it's the feeling that he wanted when he was writing it. He wanted to be with the characters in history. And he also, his research was innovative in many ways. There are many places where he went, archives and libraries, where he would be working with librarians, and he worked, you know, with a lot of people. All of his books felt like a joint effort because he had so many wonderful archivists and librarians helping him. But time and time again, I know from Mike Hill, who was his research assistant since 1992, or actually before that in the 80s, Mike said they would go to these places, and so many times the librarians or archivists would respond to a question that my father would ask and say, you know, nobody's ever asked us that. No one's ever asked to look at it this way. And he was a writer. He wanted to know what, not just what people were doing, but what they were reading, what music they were listening to, what they ate, what the weather was like. And he tried to write for all five senses.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That inquisitive nature brought forth. It's like a painting. You go into an art museum and you see these beautiful colors. You see the depth of the work and the thing that the artist wants you to focus on most. The same thing with David's work. As you said, he painted this background with words, and then brought to life the individuals, the characters involved. But not only that, their day to day life, what their home was like, what the town or the city that they were living in, the countryside. And as I said, you start reading it and you think, wow, it's like him sitting here just telling me this whole story that I never knew anything about. And it just made it that much more interesting and drew you into each and every one of his books. But now moving forward to History Matters, this newly released one, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a compilation of essays, short stories that really brings to light the true love that he had. But what I'm also getting out of the book, and I just finally finished it all up, is the fact that he really wanted people to have a true appreciation for what this country was all about. Integrity, honesty, independence, creativity, hard work, hardship, success, all the things that we still deal with, Dory. So I don't understand why people would say, well, I don't want to know about the past. Well, why not? People from 200 years ago were dealing with similar situations that we deal with today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the book is, as you say, it's a compilation of a lot of different kinds of things. There are interviews, there are tributes to people who influenced him. And the book is about the country and what we faced in the past. And it, of course, connects to what we're facing now. But it also is about him. And I think that there might be a tendency when you see this book to think, oh, this was just sort of there and they dusted this off and, you know, here it is. But this collection came from his papers, which are an enormous, it's just the biggest, huge collection of everything from his career all the way through. The papers lined up go 270 feet, almost a football field. And so this little book came out of a lot. And what we wanted to do was show him as a historian and then move into the people from history who influenced him. Then it moves into people within his own life who influenced him. And then him, David McCullough, as a writer. And the feeling that we hoped we could convey was what it was like to be with him, to be at a dinner table with him, to be sitting on the back porch having coffee in the morning. These are the kinds of things he talked about. This is the kind of person he was. And he was interested in everything. He was so curious about birds and dogs and music and novelists and, I mean, all kinds of things. And he was interested in people. He would talk with everybody, anyone he met, and he would always tell us, and he says it in the book, you can learn something from every single person you meet. You just have to be curious and you have to listen to them. But listen and you will learn from other people. And he lived that every day.
I got to tell you, I'm listening to you describe your father and what really motivated him. And it sounds, I'm very much like that. And some people say, you know, you wander off when you go anywhere and you start just picking up conversations with people. It's like a drug, Dory. It's almost like I need this. I'm getting something that I didn't get before. They're telling me about their life and their times. And I want to pick up where we left off about your father and these personal moments and the things that really meant a lot to him. But I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye, and my guest this week is Dory McCullough Lawson, a daughter of a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian David McCullough. The new book is History Matters, a collection of essays, short stories that bring to light who David McCullough really was. And Dory, you know, picking up where we left off, there's snippets in that book that describe where he was. You know, people think, oh, he must have had this magnificent office with all kinds of people bringing research information to him, doing the research and working alongside it. He was a pioneer. He liked to just, like you said, he had that old typewriter, and I can relate to that because I still have a landline on my wall and people thinking that's kind of weird. But anyway, it was a comfort zone for him. But basically, he was a real trailblazer. He didn't need anything fancy around him. It wasn't like he was on Madison Avenue in some fancy high-rise office building writing a lot of these stories. And as you said, the inquisitive nature led him to immerse himself in situations where most people would say, you know, why don't you just mind your business? But David wasn't like that, right?
No, he wasn't like that at all. He said that he was marinating himself in his subjects, and he did do that. He worked in an 8x10 little tiny building at the back of our yard. The yard is like a shoebox kind of, and the house is at the front of the shoebox, and away in the back corner was his office with no telephone, no computer. He worked on a Royal Standard typewriter forever, the whole time, that he bought in 1965 used. And he loved it when the electricity would go off and we would all be, you know, complaining about it. And he'd come in at the end of the day, had no idea the electricity went off, and he just kept working. And he kept a strict schedule. He would say he was getting the 8:10 train, and he would the 8:10 train. He'd walk out of the house and walk back to his office. He'd come in for lunch and check on the mail and eat. Go right back out to the office, and then he'd be in for dinner. And he did that most days, not 5 days a week, but most days. Sundays sometimes would be a shorter day, but he worked and he worked and he worked and he was happy working, and he included his family in his work sort of with stories so that we were always fascinated by what he was doing and thrilled to hear about it at the end of the day, which we did.
Yeah, the other part of it, and you know, I just want to inject this real quickly. I don't want to go off track here. Is that he voiced many segments for PBS on historical specials that they ran, and I always said, boy, he missed his calling because he had such a unique the voice. And I always say that when you're in radio and when you don't have the visual. In that case, that you know, obviously it was on TV, but his voice resonated in such a way that I think enhanced whatever the historical topic of that particular segment was. But what I'm getting at is between that and the writing and all the notoriety, he never changed, though, did he? He was always David McCullough, plain and simple, and just let me be, let me do my work. And, you know, if you enjoy it, that's really what matters most to me. He was really down to earth, wasn't he?
He was very down to earth. I wouldn't say he'd say let me be because he loved talking to people. And I think part of the reason he went to that little office was, you know, to keep himself away from people because he really would go off. But no, he never did change. And I will say in going through his papers, you know, which has been a big job and very interesting, painful to go through do the papers, also because he's gone. The papers begin with his childhood. I mean, it's everything. And as a teenager and a 20-year-old and reading the letters that he wrote at that time, he was the same person then. And my mother also, they were the same people when they were young adults as they were when they were 89 years old. They didn't change. And they, he called them they really lived by what he called the old-fashioned primary values, you know, old verities, courage, respect for one another, self-reliance, courtesy, devotion to truth, a loathing of hypocrisy, and then what he called the power of simple goodness. And he lived by that always.
And I think that is what separated him from the multitude of other historians. And I'm not degrading it. I'm not condescending any other author. All I'm saying is your father's approach, as you said, plain and simple. This is what I learned. This is what I found out. I want to share it with you. Like I said, as if you were sitting down and having a cup of coffee and talking to a group of people or, like you said, family members. But I want to go back to something else, too, that you mentioned, your mom, Rosalie. I got the sense, you know, because of what he wrote in the book and about, you know, the life with the family, that she really was, she was, and you hear this often, but I think coming from David McCullough, you go, come on, he was a self-made man. Well, yes, but family and your mother's support and her belief in him really made a difference, did it not?
It made all the difference. They met when he was 17 and she was 18, and that was it for them. They were together all the way through, and he had a up and coming established career in New York. When they left that, he'd published one book, and he decided that he really wanted to write full time. And he left that with five kids and no, you know, trust funds backing them up. And they left New York and he went to work writing, and it was hard. It was a struggle for about 20 years until Truman. And she was right there with him all the time, taking care of the family, taking care of our lives, supporting him in everything that he was doing. But she also was there with the writing, and he, I think, in many ways wrote for her. She would read everything that he wrote, and then she would read everything that he wrote out loud to him. And he was always said that he was writing for the ear as well as the eye. And the only way that he knew how it would sound is if she read it to him. And those days, you know, those are long, long, hard days of hard work where she would read everything to him out loud.
I mean, I give her a lot of credit. Five kids, the as you said, wondering when the next paycheck is going to come in. But she knew, once she believed in him, secondly, she knew he had this raw talent, obviously. But at the same token, she was a sounding board, as you said. She was, you know, she would read back to him And I think that made all the difference in the world. You can talk to yourself. We all do that. And you can reason things out by yourself. But sometimes hearing that, someone else reading it back or, just talking about what you've written or what's on your mind, you sometimes take a different perspective. So I get the sense they were literally a team.
They were a team, yeah. And they were very funny. Well, I think one thing that people might not imagine is they were very funny, both of them. Wonderful senses of humor, and there were tons of teasing and hilarity that went on. And one something that happened every year was their anniversary, and for which everybody has, but on their anniversary, every morning of December 18th, Dad would come down and say, he'd be biting his nails, and he'd say, "Oh, today's the day. Is she going to sign up for another year?" And sometimes she would announce in the morning she was signing up for another year, and sometimes it would be later in the day. Their anniversary was always a very funny day. It was fantastic. Yeah. I'm wondering, is she going to sign up? And of course, we all knew she's signing up, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was love. It was no question about it. The whole story, I mean, this is what I'm trying to say. History does not have to be boring, and it certainly is not and was not in the McCullough family. So history matters. Unpublished stories and essays by Pulitzer Prize winning author David McCullough is just an absolute wonderful read. And no, you don't have to be a historian, but as Dory has been saying throughout the segment, this is not a history book per se. It's really personal, and it brings to light who David McCullough was, his origins, what fascinated him most, and how he learned to love history and then wrote about it. Dory, real quick, I know you got a bunch of speaking engagements coming up, and we're going to try and post some of that on our website here. You'll be speaking in Boston sometime in October. But if people want to reach out to you directly, pose questions, just have some, just get more information about you personally, how might they do that?
I think they can do that, I guess, through my email address, which is Dory, D-O-R-I-E, at soldiercreek.com.
Great.
Or through the Simon & Schuster Facebook, David McCullough Facebook page. That's probably the best way.
Yeah, and as I always say,
easiest way for people to find it.
Right, great. We appreciate that. The other thing is History Matters by David McCullough has now been newly released. It is on bookstands from coast to coast. And it is just, as I said, a really warm, sensitive, eye-opening, intuitive book, and I would certainly urge our listeners to read it and get a new perspective on the United States, and hopefully an appreciation for the fact that this country has never had it easy, nor has any country. There's been challenges, and somehow forbearance and integrity and just hard work gets us to where we need to be. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios, the WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. Again, I want to thank my guest this week, Dory McCullough Lawson. The book is History Matters by Pulitzer Prize winning author and her dad, David McCullough. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.